Now, this morning, we are continuing our series on God is not like us. Now, can you remember the last all-age service with Graham and he had his big washing line up here and he had all those things? No, you don't remember? Do some people remember? Lots of people remember. That's good. And he had lots of big words, words that described how God was not like us, and words over here that kind of describe us being a bit like God. Can you remember all those? Can anyone remember any of the words that we talked about over here that said God is not like us? Go, Barnes. God is powerful. That's right, Barnes. That was over here, wasn't it? Yep. Any other words? Oh, dear. None of the big words. Come on. Do you remember what we talked about with Sarah the other week? Barney again. Oh, nearly. Good try. Okay, oh, dearie me, we're a little bit not awake yet, are we? Here we go. Here's some of the words we said. Do you remember? We said he was creator. We said he was independent. Authority, that's it. He's all powerful. We said he was immutable, unchanging. We said he was omnipresent and omnipotent and omniscient and good and righteous and life and holy and eternal and wise and love and just. And a few other words as well. All ways of describing that God is not like us. And this morning we're going to think about God being eternal and omnipresent. Now they're pretty cool words to hang out in the school playground this week. Did you know God is omnipresent? Your teacher will be impressed if you said that. But first we have to learn what it means. And what we're going to do is think firstly about God being eternal, then we're going to sing a song, and then we're going to think about God being omnipresent. That means he is everywhere present. Now, here's the question then. So God is not like us. He's always been there, and he lives forever. What does eternal mean? Some of you, older ones, what does eternal mean? Go on, give it a go. Go on, Eleanor. He was always there and always will be there. That's right. It's exactly what it means. It means that you last or exist forever, or that you have no beginning. You've always been there and you have no end. You will carry on being there forever. In fact, this is how the Bible describes God. Psalm 90, verse 2. We read it right at the beginning. Before the mountains were created, before you made the earth and the world, you are God without beginning and end. So God has no beginning and he has no end. In other words, God has always existed. There's never been a time, there's never been a period when he did not exist. So before he created the world, he existed. And he will continue to exist even when the world ends. God will always exist. He's timeless. Thing is, we're not like God because we have a beginning and end. In fact, the Bible says this about us, Ecclesiastes 3, 1 to 2. It says, look, there's a time for everything. Season for every activity under heaven. There's a time to be born and a time to die. So there's a time when we are born, we begin, and there's a time when we will die, we end, as it were. But for God, there is no time in that way. There is no time when he was born, and there will be no time when he will die. And there was never time when he wasn't there, and there'll never be a time when he isn't there. He has no beginning, he has no end, he is eternal, eternal. In fact, he created time when he created the earth. Time was his creation. And if you create it, you can't very be much part of it. So God is not constrained, he's not governed, he's not ruled by time. He is timeless. He stands outside of time. Now that's quite a big idea to get ahead, so I'm going to need some help now to see if we can try and understand a little bit more about what it means for God to be eternal and outside of time. So I need lots of volunteers this morning. Two volunteers. I probably need two older people at this point, and I've got some roles for the younger guys. I'm going to go with you two first, then I'm going to use the two bigger ones at the back for another thing later. Come over here. This is my amazing timeline. Megan, I need to come stand over here. And hold that, like that. That's it, brilliant. Eleanor, hold there. Don't let it rip. Brilliant. My timeline. You see it? Now, here's the thing. There's a beginning. Creation. There's an end when Jesus returns. And there are certain points that things happen along the way. So I put in a few. There's Noah with his ark. Can you see it? And there's Moses. I put a pyramid above him because he was with the Egyptians and they were building pyramids. There's David, who was a king. And then I put the exile in. That's when all the Jews left Israel and went to Babylon. It's what we're learning about in the evening services. And then I put a cross, because that is the most definitive moment in the whole of history when Jesus died. But there are other things that have happened as well between on there to our point today. Here we are, Sunday the 10th of February, 2013. Now, I need some other helpers. Yeah, come on, Nathan, come on, Barney, come on, Joel, come on, Tom. Come on up, girls, come on, Toby, Come on, Nathan. Right, Barnes, I need you to go and stand right down here somewhere and hold that up. Exactly, there we go. On our timeline, we now have Egyptians with Moses and the pyramids. Okay, ooh, here's a good one. No, oh, they've got a little bit out of order. That's not good. Could throw me now. Romans, where do you think they go on my timeline? Any idea? Let's try about roughly about here. Hold it up there. Go, Joe. Big one. Hold it up. See the Roman? Does he look like you? A little bit. Okay. Storming Normans. Where do you reckon they go? Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know. How about here? Roughly here. We've got a big space here. Okay. Brilliant. Saxons. Don't know if you know where they go. No. Next to him. And there we go. And Tudors and Stuarts. They're going to go next there. I need one more. Come on. There you go. There we go. Brilliant. You're going to go there. So now we have a timeline which has lots and lots of different things happening, isn't it? And the whole of creation is... Girls, could you lift the timeline up a little bit? There we go. Is governed by time. And you see, it's always moving forward. It's always progressing. So we had the Egyptians, and then a little bit later we had the Romans, and then we had the Normans, and we had the Saxons, and we had the Tudors and Stuarts, then we had the Victorians, and then you get to today, roughly. Jump a few years in between. But you see how it goes. You see, it goes day by day, month by month, year by year. Things keep going on. People come, people go. So the Romans come and the Romans go. The Normans come, the Normans go. The Saxons come, the Saxons go. The Tudors and Stuarts, they come, they go. The Victorians, they come, they go, and you get to today. And we're born and we die until you get to this point here, isn't it? And right here, on my little thing here. Is me. Just a little pinprick here today, looking a little bit future at the moment. But today, just me in the midst of all of this history. But the thing is, I was born in 1975 and I'll probably die around 2075. I'm not a prophet, I'm just guessing. 100 years. But that'll be it. I'll born, I'll die, and the time will just keep going. It'll just keep progressing, won't it? These things will just keep happening. And it's why our whole life is ruled by time. So there's a time when we wake up and there's a time when we go to school. To bed. There's a time when we go to school and there's a time when we come home. There's a time when we play and there's a time when we work. There's time when we have our tea and there's time when we have our lunch. Time just happens, doesn't it? Just keeps going. It's why we all wear watches. It's why we have clocks on our iPods and our iTouches and our iPads and on our phones, because we need to know time. Time, we're constrained by it. Now I'm going to take these ones from you guys. Thanks very much. You can all go sit down. Two at the back. You can stay there. Thanks very much. Thank you very much, guys. Good job. Woo. You see, here's the thing, isn't it? Time keeps going. We're constrained by time. Can't do anything about that. Move forward. But God is outside of time. Now, Hannah and... I think it's Samuel. You can come and help me here. What I need you here to do is... Hannah, get that end over there. So why don't you stand up here on the stage, just here on the corner. Just there, right there. Move forward a bit, Eleanor. They're going to go behind you. You're going to hold that. Samuel, brilliant. Dun, dun, dun. You got it? Samuela. Okay, okay. Okay, that was just to test you. You two come back here. There we go. And up. No, not you. Down. Up. There, yeah. Brilliant. Now, here we go. You see, God is outside of time. You see, he is before the beginning of time, and you keep going this way, this way, this way. You'll never find a time when he began. And he goes beyond the time upon Jesus returns and the end of the world and the new heavens and the new earth. God is still going to exist. And you can go this way and you'll never find a time when he'll end. And you know what? He's outside of time. So he just exists always outside of time. He's not controlled by time at all. He's not progressed day by day or year by year. He's just in time. He's outside of it. Eternal. Can you hold there for a few more minutes, you think? Brilliant, because we just need to think about something else. See, which brings us to this. The other week, do you remember what Sarah said? Anyone remember what Sarah said? That God is unchanging. That's right, he's unchanging. And he always exists and he never changes. You see, this is the thing, isn't it? Every year, we have a birthday. And on that day, we celebrate being another year older. And we look back on the year we had and we see how we've changed. Now here is a picture of a baby. Anyone want to guess who it is? It's not me. It's not my brother. Not my sister. How about your mother? It is Roz. Quite a sweet little baby, isn't she? Now, a few years later, here's a picture of Roz as a little girl. This is her, she's on the left. You can see it's Roz. Here's a picture of Roz a few more years later. Now she's grown taller, she's grown prettier, and she's got wiser. She knows more than when she was a baby. She knows more than when she was a little girl. And over a year, we change. Over a number of years, we change massively. Time changes us. Each day we're getting older. Each day we're changing a little. And in fact, as we look on our timeline, we can see that each year the world goes by, things progress, don't they? Did they have cars and computers back here?
No.
Do they have cars and computers here?
Yes.
They do, don't they? Things have changed. We know more. We're able to do things more that have computers and iPads and cars and TVs and all of these things that they didn't have back then. Because as days have gone by and years have gone by, people have grown wiser and know more. They've changed. Does God have a birthday?
No.
No. He's not bound by time. He's always existed. So there's never a time when he was born. There's never a time when he was young.
He wasn't born.
Oh, very good point about Jesus. That is very true. Jesus was born, that's right. But God, Jesus, took on a human nature in which he was born by, but God's nature had always existed. We didn't prepare that one at home. Now, it's a very good point, though. But you see, God has never changed. He's always been all of these things, all of these attributes is what we call. He's always been the creator. He's always been omnipresent. He's always been omnipotent. He's always been holy and righteous and just. There's never a time that you could put here and say, well, he's only some of those things. Or here, he's suddenly got more things. Or here, he's got even more things. Because all the time, from here all the way back there, he's always been all of those things. And he'll always be all of those things. Because he's eternal. And he's timeless. And because he's outside of time, he does not change. He just is. He's always been all those things forever. He's without beginning and he's without end. But you know what? Here's the next thing that's amazing. He sees all of time equally vividly. That is, he can see it all in one go. Here's the thing for you. 28th of June 2003. One of the most memorable days of my life. What do you think it was here? What do you think happened here? Someone else with the girls at the back? What do you think's happening?
Wedding.
Are you a girl? The wedding, indeed. A wedding. Ah, my wedding day. And you know what? I can remember a lot of things about my wedding day. And I can look at pictures. I can look at the DVDs. I can talk to friends. But you know what? I can't remember everything that happened on my wedding day. If I was to say to you the date 20th of November 2006, anyone know what's so memorable about that day? It's the day that Nathan was born. Another memorable day. And I was there, and I can remember lots of things, but I can't remember everything about that day. What do you think about the 16th of July, 2008? Anyone want to guess? Go on. It was the day Barney was born. Yeah. It's the day Barney. Again, another memorable day. But you know what? I can't remember everything that happened. 18th of August, 2009. Anyone want to guess? Not from front? Go on, Emma, brilliant. Thank you for remembering. I'm touched. Lots of you didn't remember that. I was a little bit upset. All of your hands should have been up. That should have been a most memorable day. But it's a very memorable day for us. But you know what? I can remember lots of things on that day, but I can't remember it all. And yet God sees all of time equally vividly. That is, he can see all of time from creation to the 10th of February 2013 to the point when Jesus returns. And he can see every day in the new heavens and the new earth. And he can see all of time. And he can not only see every day, he can see every minute of every day. He can see every second of every day. He can see every detail of every day from creation to the end of time. Because he's timeless. He's outside of time. You see, he's up here. Outside of time, and he can see all of this and every detail of every day, all of the time. There's never a time when he cannot see it vividly. And Psalm 90, verse 4 says this, For you, a thousand years are as yesterday. They're like a few hours. And yet, even though God sees all of time, each and every day, even though he is outside of time, he still acts in time. Guys, you can put that down for now and sit down. Thank you very much. We'll leave it there on the floor so we can see it. That's all right. We won't see it. He still acts in time. He's eternal. He can see all of time, but he still acts in time. And he still interacts with us. So the scriptures reveal that God acts within time and acts differently at different points in time. So there are times when God acts in judgment at a specific point in time. And there are other times when he acts in saving us at a specific point in time. So he saves the Israelites from the Egyptians at a particular point of history. But he also judges the Israelites at another point in history. And of course, the most remarkable way that he has acted in time is that he sent his son to come at a particular point in time to live amongst us for 33 years. And as son was born as a child, he grew up and he died at one particular point in history so significant that it's marked AD, BC, our time, isn't it? And at that point, Jesus died on a cross to save us from God's anger for our rejection, our sin of him. See, he may be outside of time. He may have created time, but he's still able to act in time. And he's still able to save us. And if you're a non-believer here today, the fact that God acted in time in this way means that there is historical evidence to read. It confirms who Jesus is. It confirms that he came. And it's recorded for us. See, faith is not blind faith. It's faith based on historical evidence of when God acted at a particular time in history, in his creation. And if you're a believer, then knowing this truth is meant to encourage us and spur us on. Because we worship the God who created time, who is eternal, and who vividly sees all of time and acts in time. Now, what have we seen so far about God this morning? What is he? He is eternal. So is there a time when he didn't exist?
Yes. No.
No, there isn't a time when he didn't exist. He's always been there, isn't he? And yet we said he can also see all of time, and yet he also acts in time. God is not like us. He has always been there and lives forever. And I want us to now, just for a few minutes, and it's not as long as the first one, it's just for a few minutes, think about that God is not like us. He is everywhere. See, God is unlimited with respect to space. That is, he's everywhere. And listen to this. He's fully God everywhere. See, we might imagine that we hear that God is everywhere and you kind of think about him as stretching himself over all the world. A bit like this stretchy toy here. See this stretchy toy? Stretches. Now, it can only really be in one place, can't it? It can only be here, but it can stretch itself. And sometimes we think of God a bit like that. But what he's doing is he's stretching himself all over the world. Now, I did have a perfectly shaped globe this morning until I stood on it just before I was to speak. But here is, we'll go with half. And we'll go with this half because it allows me to put my finger in the middle. And have the world here. You see, and we think, well, God is a bit like this. He's everywhere. And what he does is he kind of stretches himself. Oop. A little bit carried away there. He stretches himself all over this globe. And so now we can see, oh, look, he's over here. He's in Brazil. And he's in some kind of, over some insignificant island over here, Australia. And he's over here in South America as well. And he kind of stretches himself. But you see, the problem with this is that this stretchy thing is not all of it everywhere, is it? See, this part is over here. This part is over Australia. But this part is over South America, and this part is over Africa. It's not everywhere all, is it? Not all of it is everywhere. It's limited. But yet God is fully everywhere. That is, he is all of these attributes, all of these things, everywhere, all the time. Whoa. See, this is what the Bible says. Jeremiah 23. Am I God who is only in one place, asked the Lord. Do you think I cannot see what they are doing? Can anyone hide from me? Am I not everywhere in all the heavens and the earth, asked the Lord? Or what about this? Psalm 139, 7 to 10. This is David writing. He says, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the place of the dead, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the furthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. See what David's saying? There is nowhere in the entire universe, in the land or in the sea or in heaven or in hell, where one can flee from God's presence. It's God himself who is present wherever we might go. And we cannot say that some of God or just part of God is present. That'd be to think of him in spatial terms, as if he was somehow limited by space. See, this stretchy thing is limited by space, isn't it? It can only ever be in one place. Right now, it's in my hands. It can't be anywhere else. Now, it can stretch a bit, and it can go outside of my hands a bit, but it's only limited to one place in my hands. But God is present with his whole being in every part of space. And to even to begin to think of something big enough to contain him is to contain it, is to limit him. And to grasp just how awesome that is, here's a very short video clip that compares the stars and the planets. So we're going to see Earth, and we're going to see how small we are compared to other planets and other stars. And it will just give us a size of the universe. And in that universe, God is present, all of him present, everywhere, in every part. Have a look at this. There you go. And our God is present fully in every part of his universe. God has no spatial dimensions. That is, he has no body. He cannot be expressed in terms of size or say he is as big as the universe. You can't say he has a body as big as the universe or bigger. Because that would be to limit him. God is a being who exists without size or dimensions in space. He's greater than we could ever imagine. And he's present everywhere fully in his creation. And the Bible informs us of his presence to reveal he is God. But it's also to encourage us that there is nowhere we can go where God is not with us. So there's no part of the universe, there's no star too big that we could go to and He not be with us. And you know what? That really should encourage us. It should encourage us to pray, because wherever we go, wherever we are, we can always turn to Him and He'll hear us. So we can be at school and He hears our prayers. And we can be at home and He hears our prayers. And we can be at school and it's going well. Or we can be at school and it's not going well and He still hears our prayers. And we can be here on a Sunday and He hears our prayers and He'll hear our prayers on a Monday, because He's present everywhere. And if you take both the truths we've been thinking about this morning, if you think about that God is eternal and yet acts in time, and at the same time He is present everywhere, what a great encouragement for us to pray. Because we have a God who not only hears our prayers and is with us, but we have a God who is able to act in time. He's able to respond at the time when He deems best in response to our prayers. God is not like us, and that is a very good thing. He's far greater than we could ever imagine. And our response, therefore, should be one of praise. To praise such an awesome God. God is not like us.